This is Intersection, and I'm Matthew Petty. For people who like to shop, Black Friday might be the highlight of the year, lining up early to grab a new TV or the latest toy or polo shirt, the thrill of working your way through the crowds in search of that bargain. But the joy of bargain hunting for shoppers can be more of an ordeal for the salespeople working the floor and behind the register. Taylor Durkin and Hector Cordova are two veterans of the retail world. Cordova has spent 10 years working in retail. He can't say where he works at the moment. And Durkin has most recently worked at Lush Cosmetics at the Florida Mall. What's it like getting ready for Black Friday and just working on that day?
I can tell you that at Lush Cosmetics, we actually hire tons of extra people pretty much just for that 1 month in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. So when you go in at Black Friday as a customer and you might get a little frustrated that people don't seem to know what they're doing, it's because they really don't. They've trained for about a week, and then we pretty much throw them on the floor right on Black Friday.
If you're a customer, how are you able to identify the people who know what they're talking about?
There isn't a lot. It gets so hectic, especially at a place like the Florida Mall, where you have so many tourists and locals who are, you know, come in droves looking for deals. We also have a lot of, you know, international guests. So there could be so many languages going on at once, and it really gets really hectic. So the best thing to do is, if you really need help, just ask for it. Mm-hmm. Because if your salesperson doesn't really know what they're doing, they're going to know who will.
Hector, what's your experience been of working Black Friday? What's it like?
A lot of people, right, to sum it up. We do have international guests usually in the mall. Florida Mall and Millennia tend to get a lot of international guests. But on Black Friday, that's when the locals come out. Usually there's going to be a lot more locals then, which I think goes to Taylor's story of an experience of how people might get a little frustrated, because the international customers can be a little more understanding. They don't really know what's going on. But the locals, they know exactly what they want to get. They want to get in and out.
What about the language issue that Taylor mentioned? Is that a challenge?
Oh, definitely. Depending on where you work, you might not be able to work with a customer by translating that well. They might have one member of their entire group that can sort of get by with English, but usually people rely on technology. I've seen many workers pull out like a phone and use some kind of Google Translate and just type away.
So let's hear some horror stories. What's the worst experience you've had working Black Friday? Taylor, what sticks out in your mind?
My last Black Friday, it went pretty smoothly at first. I think I got in at about 4 or 5 a.m. So there's usually two droves of people. There's the people that come in right when the mall opens, which now is, you know, Thanksgiving evening. And then you get the people that, you know, want to go shopping on Black Friday. So they might not come in until like 9, 10, 11, when they would have normally gotten up anyways. So I came in kind of in a lull. Thought I was going to have a really easy shift, and then all of a sudden we just got packed and didn't have enough people. So I ended up doing about 6 hours of overtime without any breaks, just because that's what we needed to do, and we couldn't stop, really. As we've said, customers get really frustrated, and if you only have so many people that do know what they're doing and the rest of the sales associates are just there to kind of keep the ball rolling, you don't really have a choice. You just buckle down and do it.
Hector, what about yourself? What's the worst experience you've had in retail on Black Friday?
In general, it tends to be the same thing. A lot of overtime, no breaks. Keeping hydrated is really tough. I've had associates that have passed out because they didn't have enough water. There's crowds of people, hordes of people, and they just drop. And then even getting to them is tough because you have to get through crowds of people. The person passed out and we had to, you know, drag them to the back, call paramedics.
How often has that happened?
It's rare. Because one thing a lot of stores do, I think Taylor might be able to talk about this with Lush, is they try to provide water. Usually they bring in water bottles. It's maybe even provide lunch. They do everything they can to kind of keep the employees not only comfortable as they can be in the situation, but to actually keep them safe.
So you got to treat it almost like a sports event, like a marathon
exactly.
or something.
Exactly. We do take that kind of approach. And I've seen in many stores, they often have a pep talk, onboarding of a lot of people, and try to get them to treat it as kind of this fun once-in-a-lifetime experience, unless you're a retail veteran, at which point it's multiple times in a lifetime experience.
Right. So in the case of this salesperson who collapsed, I mean, were the customers understanding? Were they just kind of angry because it delayed what they were trying to buy?
They were extremely understanding in this case. I think they might get frustrated before they see somebody get affected. You know, somebody gets hurt and then the empathy comes out. Oh, wow, this is the cost.
Because you do hear stories of stampedes and other things happening at shopping malls, but you're talking about big crowds. So some of it is about crowd control, right?
There's a lot of crowd control that happens. A lot of lines to manage, stanchions can go up, a lot of security around, and cops, of course.
Taylor, does that kind of mesh with your experience and talking about making sure the sales folks are hydrated and the pep talk beforehand?
Yeah, definitely. Lush actually does something where we'll have what's called a holiday party a couple days before, and they'll buy breakfast and they'll have a big pep talk and we'll go over all the different Christmas items and different strategies and stuff. There is a break room in the back, so even if you can't take a full break like you should be able to, you do get a chance to get water, you know, grab a few bites of food. They definitely, from my experience, do what they can to help you deal with how crazy it's going to be. And then in terms of what you're talking about with the stampedes, I think those are more like big box stores. Both of us haven't had to deal with that maybe as much, but it gets pretty crazy in the mall. What's nice about the mall is there's multiple stores and everyone's looking for kind of a different thing. Whereas at those big box stores, they'll always have those one or two huge, like really low ticket items mm-hmm. that everyone's going the exact same direction.
What about online shopping? Have you noticed that have crowds dwindled a bit in recent years because of, you know, more people shopping online, or are things pretty consistent?
I'd say it's gotten worse, honestly. I think that people do look for good deals online shopping, but they have their own shopping day at this point. So in terms of Black Friday, people are still going out. It's almost an event. People get together. People that might not even shop that much will get together with their friends and family and go out, and it's almost fun for them. It's kind of a cultural event at this point.
Black Friday's become a kind of holiday. So people who don't normally shop will come out just to see what's going on. Maybe they won't even buy anything. They're just going to be checking things out. They might take the opportunity to just sightsee almost.
Any tips for first-time shoppers? I mean, you talk about what you've got to do if you're a salesperson. Obviously, you've got to make sure you've got enough water. You got to take a break when and where you can and keep your cool. But what about from the shopper's perspective?
I wouldn't recommend shopping on Black Friday unless you're looking for something very specific, because most shoppers on Black Friday actually don't seem to be looking for sales. They're just going shopping on that day. The online thing can help a lot. Hilariously, even though online shopping has exploded, Black Friday has as well, from my experience. The Black mm-hmm. Friday numbers keep going up every year, and that increases the amount of staff we need, the wait times, and the crowds.
When you're preparing for Black Friday, there's certain things that people want to get their hands on, right? There might be some must-have item of the year. So do you have to make sure you've got your most experienced salespeople manning those particular things, or is that not the way it works?
All hands on deck. Usually the experienced salespeople thing doesn't come into play because we just have everyone we physically can get. We ask people, hey, you're not scheduled, can you come in, multiple times. It's just any people there to physically take care of all the customers.
Taylor Durkin, some retailers are opting to actually close on Thanksgiving Day. Is that a good idea? You think more stores are going to follow that?
I do think it's a good idea. Lush, 2 years ago, actually, we ended up opening on Thanksgiving, but we were going to pay the fine that the mall was going to charge us for not being open during operating hours to not be open on Thanksgiving. That's something that our company was going to go ahead and pay for, but we had enough employees that were going to be in town and weren't doing anything that we were able to stay open. But I really do think that it's smart. I think that Thanksgiving is a holiday in and of itself, and Black Friday can still be a great holiday and fun for the people that enjoy it without it having to, you know, impede on Thanksgiving itself. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that more stores should be doing that and others will follow.
Have you ever had a Black Friday off?
Not while I was in retail, no. It's pretty much required. If a store does holiday hiring, for instance, if you're not available on Black Friday and a couple of other key days, the day after Christmas, Boxing Day, for instance, you don't get hired. You have to be available to work those days just to be a holiday hire.
So have you been able to take a Black Friday off, Hector?
This year. I'm not going to be working Black Friday at all, and I'm not going to be shopping either.
Do you dread Black Friday, or is there a way to get through it and have some fun and enjoy the experience?
It's a little bit of both. Black Friday is one of those experiences that brings out camaraderie in people. So it's one of the most fun days to work with your colleagues, in my experience, but at the same time, it is terrible in these other ways where you're working a lot, you might miss breaks, eating can be hard to do. Even on your lunch break, some people plan to pick up lunch. Well, on Black Friday, good luck. So you end up maybe giving some food to them just to keep them going. So it brings out the camaraderie and the fun, but at the same time, it is dreadful from the day-to-day operations perspective.
Taylor, how about yourself?
I definitely think that it's a lot of fun. You just have to go in it with the right head and, like he said, be there for your fellow employees because, you know, if one person starts going down, then the whole ship's going to sink. Mm-hmm. So if you all kind of work together and make it fun, it can be a good time. I know my last Black Friday, we all got dressed up. We were wearing, like, sparkly holiday outfits, did our hair and makeup. I think I would dread it a lot more if I had to give up my Thanksgiving evening, but I've luckily never had to do that. I might have to get up early, but I've never actually had to give up my Thanksgiving for it. But in terms of the actual event, like you said earlier, it's like a marathon. I mean, if you gear up for it, it's a good time.
Hector, what about the aftermath? Because you have people coming in, you know, in the days after trying to return stuff. Can that be as hectic as Black Friday?
Yes. In my experience, sometimes the day after Black Friday has been busier than Black Friday. So even though the crowds won't be there early, through the entire day, more people will come in and out.
Taylor Durkin, any final words of advice for your fellow retail workers or for shoppers for Black Friday?
If you're a shopper and you just want to go experience Black Friday and maybe take advantage of those all-day sales and there isn't that specific thing you're necessarily going for, you just kind of want to see what's out there and start your holiday shopping, I definitely recommend getting up early on Black Friday, but more in terms of like 4 to 6 o'clock range. Because as I mentioned before, there is that lull in traffic where you can get some really good deals and not really have to fight the crowds because they won't start back up again for a couple of hours. In terms of traffic too, that's another thing to keep in mind if you're doing a strict shopping schedule or if you are a first-time Black Friday retail employee, give yourself some extra time because it will be insane.
Taylor Durkin and Hector Cordova are veterans of the retail industry. We've been talking about Black Friday shopping. Taylor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Hector, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. Up next is Black Friday moving into the background as more people shop online and as the shopping holiday spills over into Small Business Saturday and Cyber Monday. And how are Orlando area malls adapting to this growing reality in retail? Intersection continues in a minute. Welcome back to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. Black Friday is the traditional kickoff to the holiday shopping season. Even as it spreads to other days over the holiday weekend, economist Sean Snaith says Black Friday is still a good indicator of just how well the economy is doing. Put this in perspective for me, Sean Snaith. How important is Black Friday to the economy overall?
People look to spending behavior on Black Friday to try to gauge in some way what consumers might do over the course of the entire holiday shopping season. Surveys about consumer confidence are one thing. It's okay to say we feel good or we feel confident about our economic and financial situation, but you know, actions speak louder than words. And so, you know, when it comes down to it, are consumers actually spending? And it's that behavior on Black Friday and throughout the holiday shopping season that really tells the true tale.
The National Retail Federation reports about 57% of holiday shoppers started their holiday shopping in early November this year compared to, you know, smaller percentages the previous years. Is there a point at which Black Friday kind of loses its relevance, do you think?
Well, I think that process is underway. I mean, it used to be, you know, highly relevant because it really was the start of the holiday shopping season. And before the advent of e-commerce, you physically had to go to retail outlets to do your holiday shopping. And so the lines that would build up outside the store to try to get these bargains that were being offered, you know, I think reflects now how it's changed over time. It's that day is becoming less and less important, I think, as more and more people do shopping online and as Black Friday sort of melds back into Thanksgiving or even earlier, the day itself, I think, will be less important.
What about Orlando area stores? You've got shopping, you've also got tourism. So how does Black Friday factor into that relationship?
I think tourism is a little bit separate from traditional spending on Black Friday. I mean, it's not associated with people making purchases for the holiday season, but you know, spending based on visitation and tourism in the region. So we have that extra boost, I think, to the retail sector in Orlando, and in addition to what the traditional spending would be by residents in the region as far as the holiday shopping season is concerned. So I think it provides us a cushion in the retail sector, and you know, leisure and hospitality has continued to be strong in Florida and in Central Florida in particular. And so if that strength is maintained through this holiday shopping season, it will help offset any weakness that might persist from resident spending.
Some people do come to Orlando just to go shopping, right? So do they tend to come here and take advantage of some of what's going on Black Friday in terms of sales?
Well, I suspect that they might. I'm not clear how much tourism is scheduled around Black Friday, but I mean, if there are sales taking place and we have visitors in town for other reasons, you know, then they certainly will take advantage of those sales. And you know, I think you continue to see activity in the regional malls and shopping centers that, mm-hmm. that is clearly driven by tourism.
Sean Snaith, what about the other retail events around the Black Friday holiday? We've got Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday. Do you see those two subsequent days kind of overtaking Black Friday in significance?
I think it works to sort of water it all down, maybe all of them, you know, because we've got all these days and, you know, eventually we're just talking about the days of the holiday shopping season. We can give mm-hmm. them individual names per se, but the mystique, I think, is not there for these other days that was previously held by Black Friday. I mean, I think Black Friday doesn't hold the mystique that it once did. But there's definitely been an increasing trend towards online shopping. And so that e-commerce Monday, I think, reflects the growing importance of internet-based retail shopping. But I think it begins long before that particular day. It's not like the internet suddenly gets turned on for that day and then all the shopping begins. Some of these major retail sites, you know, are already beginning to offer these Black Friday, in quote, sales on their sites.
What about the recession? Are there still some shadows lingering from that? And does that affect how and where people spend?
I think so. And I've, over the past several years, have referred to Black Friday as being a form of economic Spanx, which is this undergarment that men and women can wear that is compression and sort of smooths out the bumps and bulges underneath. Things look good when you see the clips on Black Friday and the spending that's taking place there. But really, underneath that, there still is some problems in the economy. And I still think consumers are not back to where they were pre-recession in terms of their level of confidence, in terms of the pace of their spending. I still think there's that uneasiness when it comes to spending, and consumers are hesitant. And I think once again, we'll see retailers be forced to offer deep discounts to get people to open up their pocketbooks.
Do you see that more in Orlando than you might elsewhere?
Well, to some extent, I mean, there are forces in both directions. I mean, our economy has been growing more rapidly than the national economy. We are adding jobs at a much faster pace than the national economy. So that feeds into higher spending. But we also have, the residual effects of the housing market's collapse. You still have a lot of people that are severely underwater in their mortgages. And that state of their balance sheet can impact how they spend. So there's a couple of things going on in our region and in our state. I think net-net, we'll see a little faster retail spending growth in Florida than what we're going to see nationally. And I think the retail federations are calling for just that.
When you talk about online shopping too, are you seeing stores able to combine sort of online and in-person shopping effectively?
Well, yeah, I think that this is a process that's still underway. I mean, I think traditional bricks and mortar retailers realize that they have to have a presence in terms of online shopping. And you see these adjustments in some of these big box stores, you know, changing their model a little bit on how they work, particularly electronics, because, you know, largely what was happening is they were just being a display location,
right,
for the products. Consumers could go in, look, you know, squeeze the Charmin, as it were, mm-hmm. And then go back home and find the cheapest place to buy it online. And so that's forcing some changes in that sector of the retail space. And I think that these changes are ongoing. It's, you know, this will continue to affect how retailers operate as consumers more and more look to online shopping. You know, I think traditional retailing is never going to go away. It's, you know, back to that point, people do like to see and touch things. If we're talking about clothing, you know, be able to try things on. And so mm-hmm. there is a place for that, but there's going to need to be a continuing adaptation to the changes that technology are foisting on the retail sector.
People spend a lot over Halloween as well in the United States. Was there any indication of what we might see come Black Friday, the holiday shopping season, based on what people spent over the Halloween holiday?
I don't know that that's a clear indicator at this point, but I think you are correct that spending on Halloween continues to grow. And that growth, I think, is less attributable to, you know, overall economic well-being and more attributable to just the growing popularity of Halloween as sort of an event and as a holiday. I mean, I know when I was growing up, it was nothing like it is today. You don't have these specialty stores popping up, and it was really for children mainly, and costumes were sold in, you know, five and dimes and general retailers, and you just didn't have this whole mystique and aura and haunted houses and theme parks. It's just grown into something well beyond what it was historically. And with it, of course, spending on Halloween continues to grow. But I don't think it's a great barometer of overall consumer spending because it's an event that's taking more and more of a more prominent place.
You wouldn't see that as maybe the new starting line for the holiday shopping season?
At some point, I think probably it would be. I mean, because it's like any other event that has consumer spending associated with it, the degree and the amount of consumer spending for that event will definitely in part reflect the state of the economy and the state of the consumer.
Are you going to be hitting the big box stores on Black Friday?
Absolutely not. I didn't do that back before the internet was evolved, and I take advantage of e-commerce as much as I possibly can. I don't like to have to hunt for parking spots.
Sean Snaith is the director of the University of Central Florida's Institute for Economic Competitiveness at the College of Business Administration. Thank you so much, Sean.
My pleasure.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. Online retail has grown in popularity, but brick-and-mortar stores still do brisk business, especially on Black Friday. Mark Schaub is the founder of the Orlando Mall Guide website. He explains how malls are evolving to attract shoppers. First of all, tell me a little bit about your website. What got you started and how's it going?
Sure, thanks. The site's going great. I've been doing it for just over a year. You know, I worked at a mall for about 9 years, and so that rubbed off on me. You know, there's a mall culture. I made a lot of friends. I also went to the mall about every weekend as a kid, so I have a lot of fond memories. And when I said to myself, hey, I want to create a blog and create content and media, what can I do that no one else is doing that I'm passionate about? And I was driving by Orlando Fashion Square Mall one day, and it hit me. Boom. Okay, I can kind of be like that theme park blogger of the malls. And we all know 60 million plus people come to Orlando, so it's not just a local market that I'd be writing this blog to. It's also an international one.
You mentioned Fashion Square Mall. There's a hotel going up there. They have food trucks in the parking lot there. It seems like that is a microcosm of what's happening with malls around the country, I guess. Like, malls are no longer what they used to be.
That's very true. In fact, you could say they're reinventing themselves. Honestly, you could probably say they've been doing that since the mid-50s when the first recognized mall came to be. But Fashion Square, you talk about the food trucks. They've also got strikeouts, bowling and entertainment. So now you can actually go to the mall to bowl right across from the movie theater. So Fashion Square has decided, okay, what are we going to do to separate ourselves from the pack? And so they're trying to appeal to those communities that are directly surrounding the mall by providing family entertainment and that sort of thing. That's what they're hoping to stick out with.
So 9 years of working in a mall didn't kill your interest in malls?
Quite the contrary. No, I don't want to say I want to go back to it, but I certainly miss my times working there. You meet a lot of great people, not just on the sales floor working, but also those customers. You know, you build relationships, and so I enjoyed every facet of that.
Where'd you work?
I worked at Old Navy. I bounced from Old Navy to Gap. It's all under the same umbrella, and then right back to Old Navy. And I loved it.
Talking about some of those other big malls in Orlando, Millennia would be one that springs out. Is that top of the heap?
Yeah, it's certainly in the conversation. It's definitely between Mall at Millennia and the Florida Mall. And they attract so much tourism traffic that it just makes them stick out over all the other malls in the area.
What have you learned about malls since starting your website that you didn't know before?
I've learned a lot. Certainly experiential retail, understanding what that is. Almost a way to make customers want to go to the stores versus going online. So a lot of people are now turning to online. So by creating what they call experiential retail, we're talking about creating an experience that touches on the psychological factors. And so an example of that would be the American Girl store. you don't just go in there and buy a doll. You go in there with your child and you get the doll, certainly, but then you also fix her hair, you do makeup. There's a bistro in there so you can get a bite to eat. A good way to describe it, too, is even with just like your senses, like sense of smell. I know that if I smell coffee, I'm immediately going to think of either Starbucks or Barnes & Noble. You know what I mean? So stores are just trying to find ways to connect with consumers, maybe not so much in a scalable way because it's all about creating almost a one-on-one experience, but it's one that'll make customers keep coming back.
Is that part of the reason we're seeing more entertainment themes being built into malls, the likes of Artagon Marketplace?
Yeah, exactly. So Artagon's a great another example that just like Orlando Fashion Square trying to separate itself. So I really like what Artagon Marketplace is doing. If you're not familiar, they are featuring local artisans and they're selling one-of-a-kind products. So they got a ropes course, they've got Gods and Monsters, which is the second largest comic book and collectible store in the entire country. Mm-hmm. So definitely some unique things, again, to make it stand out.
Having said all that, Mark Shorb, has the age of the shopping mall peaked already in Orlando?
Has it peaked? Well, it's definitely undergoing change. Whether that change can create a whole new peak is, you know, remains to be seen. The malls have always undergone change. You've had the department store be the main focal point of a mall to now kind of be the, I don't want to say afterthought, but secondary at least. So I don't know what the future holds, but if we continue this trend where stores recognize the need to create more of an experiential retail experience, then I think we all win, consumers and businesses alike.
Just how important is Black Friday for the shopping malls in Orlando?
Well, it's very important. Again, we call it Black Friday because for some stores, Black Friday represents that one day they make up so much sales that they're now in the black. It really gets them through the year. So stores really depend on Black Friday to really jumpstart the holiday shopping season, even though technically we're now considering November 1st, the start of the holiday shopping season. But again, 10 to 15% of the entire holiday spending occurs during Black Friday weekend.
And if you look at the Orlando area malls, you're still going to get the same size or the same kinds of crowds that you might have in the past?
Yeah. In fact, the National Retail Federation projects that we're going to see a 3.7% increase in holiday shopping this year, which is significantly higher than the 10-year average of 2.5%. So all of that means we're spending, in the end, it's going to be $630.5 billion spent just between November 1st and December 31st. So, you know, people are still going to come out to the malls and the stores to get good deals.
If you look at a niche mall or a specialty mall like Artagon, do they see the same kinds of increase in crowds on Black Friday that a big mall like Millenia or Florida Mall would see?
I had that same question a year ago, and after being there, yes, they definitely do. And that brings up a great point. Because these are local business people, definitely include them for Small Business Saturday. I know that they've got a lot of specials planned that week, of course, that weekend, but that Saturday in particular, just for that very reason.
And Small Business Saturday is the day after Black Friday. It's encouraging people to go to the smaller shops they might have neglected on the Friday.
Absolutely. And a lot of people do support that, which is great, and I'm happy to see that.
If you look at, say, the outlets, are those still big draw cards for tourists mainly, or is it locals who are going to those?
Mainly the tourists, just by the nature of where they're located. But I have a lot of family and friends that still go to the outlets. It's important to note that the outlet experience is a completely different shopping experience, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but you're doing a lot more digging, so to speak, and you don't know what to expect because that is the nature of outlet shopping. But certainly for tourists, it's definitely still a destination. I mentioned earlier 60 million plus come to Orlando and go to the attractions, what have you. But if they're not at the attractions, they are shopping.
Some people enjoy malls. Some people enjoy that thrill of getting a good deal, kind of being amongst the crowds. But a lot of people don't like holiday shopping experience because, you know, they're being jostled around, et cetera. What's your take on it? Do you go shopping on Black Friday? Do you go out to those malls and see what's going on?
It's funny. I completely understand people's hesitation about going out on Black Friday. I don't. After working 9 Black Fridays, I've seen my fair share. I'm good. Which I also want to take this time to make a good point. Even though Black Friday, you can get a lot of great deals, it's actually not necessarily the best day to get a deal. The Saturday before Christmas is huge. Cyber Monday, specifically for online shopping, is great. They've also got a lot of one-day sales in between Black Friday and Christmas. So it's not the end-all, be-all as far as saving the most money and what have you.
What's your advice for people considering going out shopping on Black Friday or some of the other days throughout the weekend after Black Friday?
I always say start with your list. And that is your shopping list, people you want to purchase items for. And then after that, look into the ads. There's a website, it's real simple, blackfriday.com. They've got all the Black Friday ads in advance, and you can really game plan. And that's what you have to do, because it's not just about knowing what store has what. It's also, when do they open? Because you will have to get in line if you want a really good doorbuster sale. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, buts about it. And then be safe if you're going to be going out at night. Lock your door even when you're driving, because there's opportunists that at a stoplight could take advantage. They know you've got goods. So, and just be smart. Put stuff in the trunk. And the biggest piece of advice is to make the list, game plan, and have at it. And also know, too, that there's no guarantee. So just know that up front. You're not going to be guaranteed of getting that doorbuster, because they are limited quantities.
Mark Schaub is the founder of OrlandoMallGuide.com. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you, Matt.
You're listening to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. Still to come, by Friday, Kevin Sutton will have been camping outside of an Orlando area Best Buy for more than a month. But why? Well, it's more than a deal on a flat screen TV keeping him out in the elements night after night. A conversation after the break. Welcome back to Intersection on 90.7 News. I'm Matthew Petty. A small blue tent's been pitched outside the Best Buy on South Orange Blossom Trail since October. This is Kevin Sutton's home until Black Friday. Sutton hosts a radio show, The Kevin Sutton Show, and he runs a program for new dads. And he's gathering donations and raising awareness for the homeless. He's camped outside of stores before, but never this long.
Yes, this is my house, this little pop-up tent. It makes a great house out of the rain. It's the only thing it's good for. The sun makes it a sauna.
So you're camping out, and people do camp outside big box stores still for Black Friday, I guess, but you've been here for some time.
Yes, I've been here camped out for Black Friday. It'll be 33 days when the doors open on Black Friday. So I've been camped out here collecting canned goods and toiletries and clothing for the homeless kids in Central Florida. We had a press release from Mayor Teresa Jacobs, and they said there was 13,000 homeless kids here in Central Florida. I wanted to take action on this and try to actually physically do something that's actually going to make a change, not just talk about it. You know, 3 years ago, I did 5 days in line, and during that time frame, I was feeding homeless people that were coming through the parking lot, asking me for a dollar, asking me if I had a cigarette, asking me if I had some change, and, you know, sharing my food with people and giving my food away. And I'm like, wow, I'm doing all this. And my wife would call, I'm like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, hey, could you bring me something to eat? I'm hungry. She's like, I just dropped you off a pizza. I'm like, oh, gave it away. So we actually talked about it that following year and said, like, how do we truly make a difference? I'm like, look, I had over 170 people come and visit me while I was out there for that 5 days because they saw me on the news or, you know, they're friends with me on social media. What if we were to ask them to bring blankets, canned food, and toiletry? So, like, come and chill with me, have a good time, talk about the old days and how things used to be when we were kids, and, like, actually bring me something. So we did that, and it actually turned out really good. We did between, like, the food and money that was raised, over 3 tons of the product for the Catholic charities. And then the second year when we decided to do it, I'm like, look, we need even more publicity so we can get national coverage to show really what's really wrong with this community, and not just ours, so many others throughout the nation. And I decided to do 33 days when technically it's actually 34, but 33 sounded better. So we did the 33. 34 sounds kind of funny.
What's the takeaway so far, Kevin Sutton? You've been here for 3 weeks now?
I think I'm past 3 weeks. I think I'm on 4. Next Friday will be the actual thing. So I'm confused because I've been out here dehydrated, my feet swelling, the rain, a little bit of cold, and a lot of hot sun. It's like people think up north, the people that are, you know, homeless, you know, they have to deal with the snow. But I think, you know, the cold, you know, you can bundle up and there's like different things you can do, but you really have to seek shelter. But here, no one's feeling sorry for you because you're in the snow. but they don't realize like the rain, the hot sun, the next day it's like muggy, the next day it's really hot, the blistering sun, the next day it's cold, the next day it's windy, and like, you know, just changes so dramatically that it really gets people really sick. I can see like myself, like my allergies are going crazy, and just malnutrition. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter how much great canned food I eat, it still doesn't make up for the vegetables, salads, and, you know, balanced meal, like protein and different things like that. But you can really go through it.
And it's kind of noisy out here, right? You got a busy road. What does that do to your psyche?
The psyche wears really thin. I would say after the first week of being here, I start to realize maybe I bit off more than I could chew. You know, like, and so last year I did the 15 days and it was like, all right, cool, I got it. And I did the 5 before. So I like kind of build into like conditioning myself mentally. But then this time when I reached the 15 days that I did last year, I didn't realize how broken down my body was at that 15 days only doing canned food. Like, I don't eat, you know, regular meals. I eat canned food straight out the can, cold. I don't do any heated food. There's no grill and everything here. Like, I do it bare minimum, as close to being homeless as possible. So I don't take any baths. I only do baby wipes and eat canned food, and I don't allow people to bring me hot meals. So having that long of a time, I think, you know, your kidneys start going crazy. Just the sodium content's really high in a lot of the stuff. And you just start not wanting to eat. And then the noise off the road, it's always something. You know, tractor trailers going by, people racing their cars, you know, motorcycles zipping by, people fighting in the street, because this is a very strange street here on OBT. It's the crime rate's a little off balance. And the security lights are for the parking lot. They have like a loud buzzing noise. And in the middle of the night, that buzz doesn't stop. The lights stay on pretty much 24/7. They are off. They cut off at 5:30 in the morning.
So are you sleeping at all? Are you getting any sleep here?
The sleep isn't. It's an uneasy sleep. Like every noise, every time some homeless person comes by to check the trash can for, you know, for either food or cigarettes. It's mainly cigarettes a lot of the time, you know, because people want to rush into the store and get a great deal, and they're like, "Oh man, I'm not gonna finish this cigarette," and they'll just throw a full one out. Or take a puff and then throw it in there. So a lot of the homeless people come by and grab those cigarettes. But they come out throughout the middle of the night searching for cigarettes. So you hear every footstep, and it's kind of uneasy. Even having a concealed weapons permit, I still don't feel comfortable. You know, like there's no comfort in a tent. They can just, you know, push it over. You know, like feel like the three little pigs. You know, like this is kind of a hay house, you know. There's no protection in a tent.
What does your wife and family think of this? What are they saying to you?
It's my daughter, she's 12, and she's feels it a little bit, and I think my wife and my daughter, they both get to realize how important I am in the household, us being together. I'm a very involved father. I you know, braid my daughter's hair in the morning before she goes to school, and my wife goes off and makes her breakfast and packs her backpack, and then I go and drive her off and drop her to school, and then I pick her up, and then we do volleyball games together, and, you know, do family outings and eat dinner together, and I cook at the house and my wife cooks, and we switch up, you know, like teamwork, and, you know, help with homework. And I suck at everything else except for science, and my daughter's goes to St. John Vianney Catholic School, so I have a degree in theology. So me and her for the religion stuff, you know, I can help her with religion work and science. That is it. That's my limit of schooling. but my wife feels the impact of me not being there. They think I'm crazy, but my wife's been married to me for going on 14 years, so she already knew that. And my daughter, she's been around me, and they think it's great. They come by and see me. My wife comes every day after she drops my daughter off to school, and we talk for at least about 20, 30 minutes, or sometimes an hour if I get lucky. And then she goes off to work, and then she'll come back with my daughter after school, and then they'll spend, you know, an hour or so with me before she has to go to school. You know, because we got the radio show, you know, my wife, she's the co-host of the show, so she, if it fits in the schedule. And if it doesn't fit in, it's like, we'll see you after the show. So I get that little time. And she's like, well, we got homework. So, you know, you got 5 minutes. Say what you got to say and we're out. So,
what's the craziest thing you've seen while you've been camped out here?
I would say the guy getting shot next to me. Guy got shot maybe like 6 cars down from where I'm parked at, and had to go and save his life. He was screaming for help. You know, he had you know, he was gushing blood everywhere, and, you know, there was people just sat and videotaped. Like, nobody helped. It was really strange. It was really surreal, like, not almost to where I felt like I wasn't there, and I was just, even though I was helping him, I asked for, you know, somebody to get me a first aid kit and got another person to give me some water, cleaned out the wounds and packed it with the gauze and cleaned it out with alcohol, and then took my shirt off to compress the wound. And the guy, you know, I asked him if he smoked, and he was like, yeah. And I'm like, look, smoke a cigarette. So I had him smoke the cigarette. And then, but during that time, it felt like an hour. But I know, you know, Orlando Fire and Rescue were there a lot faster than that. But it felt like forever, and I could just visualize the faces around me just sitting there with their phones recording.
What time of day was
that?
That
was 11 o'clock in the morning. Two guys got in an argument, and that was over a drug transaction. And next thing you know, the guy shot him and drove off into the sunset. I mean, the sunrise, because it was morning time. So he drove off into the sunrise, and the guy was on the ground screaming for his life. He was like, you know, tell my mom I love her. You know, I mean, at any time, someone being shot, I guess you don't know if you're going to die or not. You know, you don't know how bad or severe the injuries are. But, you know, hearing the person screaming for their life and, you know, wanting you to call their mom and tell her that they're sorry for the way he's been living his life. And I'm like, that's pretty hard. And I'm just trying to talk to him to calm him down. He's better be glad that I'm crazy and I was out here for 30, you know, camping out for 33 days. I would think that was like the 7 days into my camp out. And we originally planned to do 20 days. And then that got released. Someone found out about the 20 days. So I was like, we got to change. You know, we're going to do 25. So we changed it and did the 33. So I wouldn't have been here. And hopefully someone else would have. But out of the group that was there, they wouldn't have been the ones doing anything. They were too busy doing their cell phones.
How did you know what to do, you know, first aid-wise? Have you got some first aid training under your belt?
And unfortunately, I watch Walking Dead a lot. And I've seen a lot of preparation. You know, you don't run from the fear, and slow reaction doesn't save lives. So you have to act fast and move quickly to make sure things go the right way. And so, you know, Walking Dead, I it's a great show, and I thank them for. I had no clue that was going to work. So I tell my wife, like, see, there's a reason why you can't talk to me on Sunday. I love football, and I do a sports talk show, and I love basketball, football, baseball, soccer, hockey, wakeboarding. I can cope with watching it the day after the event. But Walking Dead, I love to see it live. And that's probably one of the biggest things I miss. Like, outside of my family and my wife and my daughter, I miss getting to watch Walking Dead live in person that night it comes out. It's been very torturous for me. But I've learned how to handle myself and ration out food. And as the truck or the van fills up, I only take what someone brings me that day.
And this is the van here? You're stuck in that?
Yeah, we throw it all in the show promotional vehicle. And as people bring things, like, they'll say, oh, this is for you, and then this is for the homeless. And so I'll take that, and sometimes they'll bring me a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like, no need for all this. And so I throw that to the back. But I have my own mental separation of anything in the front seat is mine. If it's in the back of the van, I don't touch it. And so I kind of like ration out my water, or ration out, you know, I have a gallon of water every day. And that is, you know, to clean myself or drinking it or, you know, like mixing it with something to make something to eat, all in that 1 gallon. And then I ration out the food and separate fresh fruits and stuff like that and try to have those. The other day I actually ate some stale bread with mold on it. Didn't realize that how fast bread goes bad. I know it lasts longer than that in my house.
So that's kind of the worst of it. What's the best thing you've seen since you've been camped out?
The humanity in people. People that you would never expect to care as much. I had a lady come from Georgia, and she said she saw it on the news, and she was homeless when she was a little kid with her mom, and they lived in their car. And she literally drove from Georgia, not to come here on vacation. She drove to talk to me. We talked for about an hour. Talked to me about her life, what she went through, trying to find out why I chose to do this and what made me. And she just wanted to give me a hug. And she made a $100 donation and had, you know, boxes of canned foods and stuff like that. She loaded up her car and, you know, she gave us, you know, it had to be over like 200 cans of canned food and a $100 donation. And she was just like, and just the fact that somebody would even take the time to not just talk about being homeless and how we need to change it, but actually living that way. And she was like, I had to. And I was like, wow. And I was like, well, when you get home, just let me know you got back safe. And, you know, she was like, okay. And next thing you know, she sends me a text message. I made it home safe. And it wasn't even like, you know, 8 hours since I seen her the last time, you know, from she must have come here, saw some friends, and then just went back home. That was very impactful. I asked her for a picture, and, you know, some people take a picture with me and some people don't. And she was one of those like, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I'd rather not. And I'm like, wow. And, you know, I don't even have her name. I have no name whatsoever. I just know she was from Georgia, and that I'm horrible with names. That's one of my problems. So she did mention it in conversation, but I just remember as Georgia girl, you know, and she gave a bunch of peaches, a bunch of canned peaches that she jarred at home. So it was really cool. She's like, these are for you. I jarred these all at home, you know, like I ate those really fast. Those didn't last long. I've met some really great people. I had a friend from when I first moved to Florida in 1990. We went to middle school together, and we became really close in that two-year period. And his family moved away, and then my family moved the next year after, and we never saw each other again. And he saw me on the news that first 2 days I was out here, and winds up being he lives down the street. Down the street, I'm country, so like he lives less than like 20 minutes from my house. And out of all the years, I've been on Facebook probably about 4 years now, and out of that, I could not find him whatsoever. And it just took this, you know, coming out here for, you know, Black Friday to kind of like raise awareness. And it was actually the reason why I found my best friend back. You know, it's, you know, we hugged and cried. And I mean, it looks strange to other people, but we were crying. And, you know, just to have him back in my life, even for those 2 days, it meant more than anything to just to hear where he's been and what's gone on in his life. And he got to talk, and I talked about my life and everything I've done. And I wouldn't take it back for anything.
What are you going to do on Black Friday?
Black Friday, the doors open up. I'm going to go and grab some TVs. The media loves talking about my TVs, but they did not put in there that we're actually buying the TVs to auction off for a golf fundraiser that we're doing for our father program for the boot camp program. So I have already too many TVs at my house. I don't have any room for TVs.
What's the first thing you're going to do once you get home?
I've been thinking about going to Charlie's Steakhouse. I would love a great steak right now. That's my super meal. My normal meal would be McDonald's. I love going to get the Big Mac. I'm a big kid, and me and McDonald's have a real good partnership. I love McDonald's. So I'm going to go to McDonald's like I did last year and go and get my Big Mac and eat my Big Mac in peace. I feel like I live in a fish tank. You know, people walk by and they look at me and they take pictures. And some people ask to take a picture and some others do the backward selfie type situation. I've taken pictures of people before. I know what you're doing. And I just wave in the background. So my life is in a fishbowl. You know, like people are constantly looking because there's no one else out here with me looking crazy. It's just me.
Well, Kevin Sutton, good luck to you and thank you so much for your time.
Yes, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was very good meeting you.
Support for Intersection comes from our listeners and from Florida Hospital. Intersection's producer is Brendan Byrne. The executive producer is Catherine Welch. We'll be back this Friday morning at 9 with a special Thanksgiving weekend show, talking to three Central Floridians helping the homeless in very different ways. I'm Matthew Petty. Thanks for listening.